Hello and God bless you. I'm Dr. John Lafitte with King Jesus Ministry, and I'm so happy to be able to preach the word to you today. Over, I want to thank our friends, Pastor Nash, Pastor Gideon, and Irene Nash for inviting us at this day to be able to preach this word to you. And I want to greet everybody at South Street Baptist Church in Greenwich, London. So thank you for all for being here today to receive this word. And I want to take a moment and I want to speak to you about understanding or being prepared for these end times. So I want to begin with a prayer. Father, thank you, Lord, for every person that is watching this. Father, it is a time for us to be alert. It is a time for us to get ready for the things that are coming upon the earth and for the things that you have for the church. Father, I thank you for every person that is watching, that is connected, Father, that is receiving this teaching. And I pray that you use it, Father, for the glory of your name. In the name of Jesus, we pray, amen and amen. Well, I want to start by beginning with the book of 1 Chronicles, chapter 12, verses 32. It says, of the tribes of Issachar, there were men who understood the times with knowledge of what Israel should do. This is a very interesting verse in that throughout scripture and throughout history, God always has a voice. He always has a people that will speak for him, will speak about the time, will speak about the seasons. In Israel at that time, there was a tribe called Issachar, and it said that they had understanding of the times. Now, just like God always has a voice, in the Old Testament, we saw that the voice of God was the prophets. People would go through the prophets, and the prophets would hear God and speak to the people. They would also know the will of God through scripture, through the word, and normally the priest would teach people about the word of God. However, in the times of the New Testament, there was a change. Before, people had to go to a prophet to hear the word of the Lord, but now God has made of us a prophetic people. We are a kingdom of kings and priests unto God, and God has given us his spirit that we might hear him and may be able to be the voice of God on earth. So the question is, who is the voice of God here on this earth? Who is the voice of God on these days that we are living in? Let me tell you, my brother, my sister, you are the voice of God in this generation. You are the voice of God in whatever area God has placed you. So we need to know what God is saying. The worst thing that we can have is a church that does not know what God is doing. See, these children of Issachar knew what to do because of one thing. They knew the times. They understood the time. And we are a generation that above all others need to understand the times and the days that we are living in. What we do depends on the knowledge that we have. It's not just the natural knowledge, but the knowledge, the revelation, the prophetic understanding of the time and the season that we are living in. God wants you to be his voice to your community, in your household, wherever you are, in your job. You are to be that voice of God. You are to be the person that is understanding the times and understanding the seasons so that you know what to do and so that you can be prepared and that you help others to be prepared. Now, what is God doing now? This is something that we need to understand. What is happening in this time? What should the church know? It is so sad when people just want to have service in church and having the same old thing, not understanding the time and the season that we live in. We all understand the natural seasons. We change things, even our apparel, according to the season. Well, also in the spiritual realm, we need to understand the season that we're in. And I want you to know that we are the end time generation. Again, I want this to sink in, end time generation. We've heard many times, and I remember all my life, and in fact, for practically 2,000 years, people have been saying, Jesus is coming soon. Jesus is coming soon. This is the end time generation. Well, let me tell you, there are so many signs that are happening even now that point to us and show that we, above every other, are this end time end-time generation. I'm going to talk a little bit about this, but look at this, something very important. I'm just going to touch on three signs that show that we are a part of that generation. First of all, in Matthew 24, 32, Jesus is speaking in Matthew 24 about the end times. And one thing he says, from the fig tree, learn its lesson. As soon as its branch becomes tender and puts out its leaves, you know the summer is near. So the fig tree, in a sense, he says, you see that there are signs that are going to be occurring. And one of the signs that has happened practically within a lifetime is the sign of the nation of Israel. The nation of Israel is very key because it is part of the clock of God. There's actually been two clocks that have been working. One is the clock of the chronology of the people of Israel. And then the other one is the chronology of the Gentile nations, of the times. In fact, the times that we're living in. There is a clock that God has given to Israel, and he's prophesied it in Daniel chapter 9, but that's a subject for another time. But in between that time, before God begins back going to Israel, God needs to bring Israel back in place. Now, this is so interesting. What happened to Israel? Well, you see, when Jesus came to Israel, instead of receiving the Messiah, they actually rejected him. And when Jesus was rejected, then the judgment came, showing that there was a passage from the Old Testament, the old way of things, to the fulfillment of the New Testament, of the new way of salvation through Christ. And so, therefore, things that they used to do before as tradition and ritual no longer apply. So what happened in the year 70 AD? The temple was destroyed by the Romans. A little bit after that, we had several Jewish revolts. And finally, in 135 AD, we see that Israel was destroyed, that Jerusalem was destroyed. The Jewish people were cast out and they were dispersed throughout the nation for nearly 2,000 years. I want you to see 2,000 years in history. Before that, if you read scripture, you see that God dealt through Israel. Prophets were from Israel. The voice of God came from Israel. But after Jesus came and established his kingdom, established his church, you see that the voice of God here on earth has no longer been Israel. In fact, there hasn't even been an Israel. The voice of God in this season, in this time, in this church age that you and I are living in is the church. That means it is you, it is me, it is all of us that are a part of the body of Christ. Within the church, God has raised people to hear his voice. God has brought prophets, has apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, and every saint, every person in the kingdom of God. In fact, this actually is amazing that Jesus said that of all of the prophets, the greatest one is John the Baptist, because he came to announce the coming and prepare the way of the Lord. But then Jesus said that, he said, the smallest in the kingdom of God. Now you have to understand that John the Baptist was operating under the old covenant. So he was the last of the Old Testament prophets. And so Jesus said, of all the prophets, you can think of Moses, you can think of Elijah, you can think of Elisha, but Jesus said, out of all of them, the greatest is John. But then he says something amazing. He says, the smallest person in the kingdom of God is greater than John the Baptist. Now, he's not speaking about angels. He's not speaking about heavenly beings. He's speaking about the kingdom of God that he was announcing. It means the kingdom to which you and I are a part. This kingdom, you and I, you might say, you know, I'm just a little believer. I don't know. I don't have so much strength. Well, that's not the way God sees you. God sees you as someone that is even more powerful than John the Baptist, one that is able to hear God, one that is able to move in the supernatural. This is this generation. So we see that we have the time that Israel is destroyed, Israel as a nation disappears, and now all of a sudden in 1948, Israel again becomes a nation. God begins to align it. Why? Because Israel and Jerusalem in particular is central to God's end time plans. How can God deal with Israel in the end times if there is no Israel? How can the Messiah come back to Jerusalem if there is no Jerusalem? And it said that Jerusalem will be trodden under the foot of the Gentiles until the time of the Gentiles be fulfilled. And we see that we had Jerusalem have been under control of many others. Israel became a nation, and only recently in recent history was Israel back under the control of the Jewish people. And only within the last few years, nations started to recognize Jerusalem as the capital of Israel. So what you're seeing is prophecy being fulfilled. In Ezekiel 37, the prophet Ezekiel speaks about the valley of dry bones. Let me tell you, that valley of dry bones is none other than Israel, which was dead, was apart, was destroyed. And then it said, prophesy to the wind. And it said, bone came against bone, sinews came in, skin came in, and then it rose up, and then the spirit came into it. Israel has come back to life. Why? So Jesus could not have come. The end times could not have happened 1,000 years ago. It couldn't have happened in the year 1,000. It couldn't have happened in the year 1500. It couldn't have happened in the 1900s. It had to happen in the time that Israel became a nation. So it has to be after 1948. So you see it for almost 2,000 years. The prophetic scripture could not be fulfilled until things start to go into place. And here's one of them. Israel is one of them. But I'll take you to another. Daniel chapter 12, verse 4 says, Daniel shut up the words and sealed the book until the time of the end. It says, many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall increase. Well, let me tell you that we are in that age. Out of all of humanity, out of all of history, we are in the age where these two things have been fulfilled and are being fulfilled right before our eyes. One of them is the increase in knowledge, the increase in science, we could say. And the other one is worldwide travel. Now, I have been able to mark, according to history, two time periods that are particularly important. One is the 1900s, the other is the 1950s, all the way up to now. So what things have happened? Let me begin with travel. Travel began, if you just go back to the beginning of the 1900s, you see that the first airplanes were started to be developed at the beginning of the 1900s. Yet shortly after that, you have people in passenger flights, commercial flights. In fact, before we got to 1970s, in a span of less than 70 years, human beings actually walked on the surface of the moon. So transportation, I want you to see this, from the time of Adam all the way up to the 1900s, it was impossible for people to have the mobility that we have nowadays. Even the ability, and only in 70 years, less than 70, we see how travel has expanded. Nowadays, there are airports being built that would have a capacity of over 60 million people a year, just one airport. If you add all of the airports that are around the world, there have been millions upon millions of people that have been traveling. In fact, this recent pandemic, one of the reasons that it has been unique and different from every other pandemic in human history is the fact that it has been able to travel the globe. And the reason it was able to travel the globe is because of the expansion and acceleration in worldwide travel and mobility. You can trace the automobile also. We have mass production of the automobile begins in the early 1900s. So we see that this technology and advancement started to come at that time. You go all the time before, you go centuries before, all the way down to Adam. You wanted to transport somewhere, you had to walk, you had to be on some kind of an animal, maybe you could go on a ship, but certainly there was not the technology to have mechanized transportation, long distance transportation at any point to any place on the planet, which exists now. So let me touch now for just a few minutes about the increase in knowledge. We now start to see that there has been a great increase in our scientific knowledge upon the world. And let me tell you, there has been a great explosion in knowledge that also began in the time of the 50s. And a lot of this is connected to the development of transistors and electronics and computers. You know, in the 1960s, Thomas More, who was one of the main persons of Intel, makers of microchips, said that every 2 years that we were gonna have the computing power double. So if it was one transistor, one little brain, it would go to two. Then after that, after 2 years, it would be four. After that, well, today there are millions upon millions, hundreds of millions of transistors in all kinds of computers, microchips, and whatnot. So what happened beginning in the 1950s? Well, we have that there was the development of the computer has allowed us to do things that we couldn't do before. You see, if you start to read about the scientists in the 1800s, 1700s, you read about Isaac Newton and many others, they could develop theories to describe the world. However, those theories and those equations did not have a solution that could be solved by hand or by paper. So it had to wait until the time of the development of a computer, which could then take all those equations and then to perform the calculations and actually come up with a solution. We are living in that generation. You and I are a part of that generation where this knowledge has been available and it has caused an explosion in knowledge in all kinds of areas. I want you to understand that today you might be easily take your phone out and find an address through GPS. But let me tell you that before the 1950s, there were no satellites in space. There was no GPS. A GPS is a constellation of satellites which is around Earth orbit. What things have developed? We have GPS, we have mass communication, we have the internet, we have advances in agriculture, whereas before, most of the population in many places, for example, in the United States, 90% of the population were farmers in the early 1900s. Today it's practically reversed at maybe 10%. With 10% and all the mechanization that we have today, you can feed the entire nation and then some. We also have the industrialization that happened at the beginning of the 1900s. We have the development of electricity. We have refrigeration, solar power, advanced batteries, microwave. We have medical technology that has been developed in these last years. And again, there is an acceleration to it. We see x-rays, ultrasound, we see non-invasive techniques, we see the human genome has been analyzed, we see that antibiotics were developed, there's robotics, there's artificial intelligence, there is nuclear power, we see wireless technology, advances in physics and things like never before. And again, you can trace this timeline, 1900s, 1950s, all the way until today. In the 1900s, you saw the beginning of that explosion, the beginnings of that transportation. But once Israel became a nation, again, a key marker, you see that when Israel became a nation, you have an acceleration of all of these things, an acceleration in the technology that right now our knowledge doubles in a very short period of time. So we are in a time of increase in knowledge. Now I'm gonna take you from the spiritual perspective. The same spiritual acceleration has also occurred. And in fact, I can also trace it to the beginning of the 1900s. In 1901, once again, the church recovered something that was given to us. In fact, Jesus told the disciples that they were not to leave until they were filled with power from on high, until the Spirit of God had come upon them. And so at that moment, when the Spirit of God came, then Jesus sent them out to be his witnesses throughout the whole world. But what happened? We see that the power of the Spirit, the miracles, the signs, and the wonders that are a part of the church, apart from this design from the very beginning, were slowly lost through the centuries, and the church became full of tradition, full of just religiosity, full of ceremony, full of acts that were empty acts, and it did not have the life of God, the life of the Spirit. The Spirit of God has been removed from the things of God. But in the 1900s, it began again. Again, there came the latter rain where the Spirit came down. It happened in 1901, and it started to spread out in what we know and call the Pentecostal movement. People started to get filled with the Spirit. And you know what? It crossed denominations. It crossed boundaries of nations. It crossed the ocean. It crossed the world. And today we have some 700 million people that have been filled with the Spirit, that have been filled with the power of God. Wherever the Spirit is acting, the life of God is there. So that starts to accelerate evangelism. That starts to bring miracle. And in the 1950s, you start to see that there were healers, faith healers, people that were evangelists, that would God would use them to heal people, restoring the healing ministry back into the church. Then you look in the 1970s. So you see now 1900s. Now we're hitting 1950s. Now you go into the 70s, and you see there's the Word of Faith movement bringing back the teaching ministry. In the 80s, there's a restoration of the prophetic movement. In the 90s, there's a restoration of the apostolic movement. According to Ephesians 4:11, Jesus Christ himself has appointed in the church some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, some to be pastors and teachers. So we see that these five ministries were a part of Jesus' original design for the church. You see it in the early church, you see it lost, but now you see it recovered. God has brought it back. And not only that, he also brought not just Ephesians 4:11, but Ephesians 4:12, for the maturing of the saints so that they might do the work of the ministry. So God wants you to mature. God wants you not to look at, oh, it's my pastor's responsibility only to do the work of ministry, to speak to others about Jesus, to pray for the sick, to cast out demons. Let me tell you, your pastor is there to care for you, to teach you the Word of God, to help you to grow in the things of God, to be an example to you, to pray for you, to guard you spiritually. But he's also there to be an example and to train you so that you might do your part in the kingdom of God, regardless of what's your calling, regardless of what's your possession. So now that we know, and I can speak another 2, 4, 8 hours about signs of the end times. But now that we know how in the natural and in the spiritual realm we see that we are in the end times, what is the prophetic perspective? If we are the people of God, if we are the ones that have to hear what God is saying, what is happening? What should we be doing? How can I know how to handle a pandemic? How should I know how to handle the news that is coming? Well, I want you to hear this as a prophetic voice of what God is doing and what is coming in these end times. First of all, you need to understand the world is getting ready. The world system is preparing itself for the coming of the Antichrist. So there are signs of the Antichrist, and you're going to see them develop. Part of that is deception. You're going to see deception. You're going to see part of calling good evil, evil good. You're going to see part of rejection of the things of God, rejection of the people of God. All of these things are connected to the Antichrist, and this Antichrist spirit will oppose everything that is of God and everything that represents Jesus Christ, everything that represents the anointing, the Messiah, the Christ. The word Christ means anointing. So everything that has to do with the anointing, with the Spirit of God, is going to be against. The world is going to be against this. Secondly, the infrastructure for the Antichrist is also taking place. Let me tell you that now we've lost our privacy, and because this is one of the weapons and one of the tools that the Antichrist will use in the end time. But let me tell you that while the world is getting ready for the coming of Antichrist, we the church are not here to wait for the Antichrist. We are here to wait for Christ to come for his church. So the world is gonna have one perspective. The world is going to see darkness. The world is going to see things get from bad to worse. But you and I, in the kingdom of God, we need to know that we are going to see the glory of God like never before. The presence of God like never before. Preservation like never before. Look to Israel when they were in the book of Exodus. What did you see happen in Israel? Plagues, tribulation, death, judgment. But what did you see that happened to Egypt? But what happened to Israel? Supernatural protection, supernatural provision, supernatural covering, supernatural guidance, supernatural defense. All of these things, we will see the hand of God like never before. in the world, we can see Luke 21. We can see Matthew 24. I'm going to read Luke 21:10. It says, Jesus said to him, nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There will be earthquake, and in various places, famine and pestilences, and there will be terrors and great signs from heaven. And let me tell you, Jesus calls these things, all these are but the beginning of the birth pains. If you look at the last century, you saw World War I, World War II, the associated famine, the associated death. Those beginning of birth pains have already started. And everything is aligned to now. What can the world be seeing? This COVID-19 virus? What is it? It's part of the pestilence. It is part of a judgment. God wants to get the attention of the world and tell people to repent. Tell people to get right with God. Now, we see that there is fear in the heart of people, and that's one of the things. People should turn to God. We are to be the light in this time. We shouldn't be like the rest of the world, because you know now the time that you're living in. You know now the God you serve, and you know that you are assigned to this generation. So what is then the word for the church? The word for us is not destruction. The word for us is not death. The word for us is that we are assigned to this generation, that our God is coming back, that Jesus Christ is coming back. Matthew 24:36 tells us, but concerning the day or the hour of his coming for the church, says no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, nor the Son, but the Father only. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour that you do not expect. Then he says, who then is the faithful and wise servant, whom his master has set over his household to give them food at their proper time? Blessed is that servant whom his master will find so doing when he comes. So Jesus is going to come back, but during this time, we need to be doing what he has called us to do. There are people who are saying, well, he's not coming now. That's going to be in the future, or that's not going to happen. Well, let me tell you that Jesus said we need to watch and pray. You see the sign. You see it in history. You see it in the natural. You see it in the spirit. We need to be that generation that is getting ready, that is watching, that is praying. This is not a time for entertainment. This is not a time to start looking other places. What do I expect to see? I expect to see Isaiah chapter 60 verses 1 and 2, where it says, arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the people. But the Lord will arise upon you, and his glory will be seen upon you. I prophesy the glory of God is going to be released in your life like never before. I declare that divine protection is coming upon your life like never before in this time, in this season. I declare you are a sign and a wonder to your generation, that your eyes, spiritual eyes, are open to understand the times and the season, that you know what you must do. Jesus said in his word that there is a sign of his coming, and this sign is in Matthew 24 verse 14. It says, this gospel of the kingdom will be proclaimed throughout the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. Let me tell you, my friend, that the reason that we have technology, the reason that I can preach to you online through video, the reason that we could travel throughout the world, the reason there is social media, the reason there were satellites in space, is so that signals can go and the word can travel and the gospel of the kingdom can go. The reason for social media is so that we can connect and bring this message to everybody. So I tell you, do you know people that need Jesus at work, in your home, in any area? Don't be ashamed to speak what you, God has done in your life. Don't be ashamed of your testimony. Let me tell you, the devil will say nobody's gonna hear you. The devil will say people will reject you. But let me tell you that the Spirit of God within you is going to touch them and will change them and transform them. So what should we do as the Church of Jesus Christ? We should be occupying ourselves, not with the things of the world, but with the things of God. We shouldn't be hiding in a cave like everybody else in fear. Yes, we obey when the government tells us that we need to take care during the pandemic. Yes, We do those things, but we are not the ones to be in fear. We are to act in wisdom, and we are to act knowing that there is a divine protection from God. We need to occupy until he comes. We need to do what he called us to do. Secondly, we need to watch. He says you don't know at what time he might be coming. So we need to be alert in the spirit. We need to be awake in the spirit. Thirdly, we need to pray. You have to have a prayer life. You have to increase your prayer life. If you say, I don't know what's going on spiritually, well, you have to connect to God, and you do it through prayer. Don't let the fears of this world, don't let the cares of this world distract you. God wants to use you as his people to bring his purposes to pass in this time. I want to read to you Luke chapter 21, verse 28. Jesus said, when these things begin to take place, all of the things that we've been talking about, all the things that we're seeing, he said, straighten up, raise your head, because your redemption is drawing near. So what is the time that we're living in? We are living in the end time. And what is happening? We are the generation that is closest to the coming of the Lord. God has restored to us his power. God has restored to us the supernatural. God has restored all the ministries, and he is restoring his people, everybody. Again, whoever you are, the Spirit of God within you gives you the ability to connect to God in a way that not even John the Baptist could do it. So it's your time to arrive. It's your time to have hope and to look up and to maintain and go forward in your spiritual life. Watch and pray. Seek God. You know, in this time, as this pandemic has been happening, we see a lot of people have been paralyzed by fear, because everything that you hear in the news is bad news. And fear is actually a spirit, for God says, I have not given you the spirit of fear. So we have to get rid of that fear. And I want to ask every person that is watching this, if you have fear, if hearing this news and all these things has put you in fear, I want to pray for you. Why? Because there is a demonic oppression and fear that comes upon the people. Doesn't let them sleep, doesn't let them have peace, because this is something that is being fed through the news. The Bible says faith comes by hearing. But you know what? Fear also comes by hearing, because it's competing. Fear is believing what the enemy wants to do to you. Faith is to believe what God wants to do with you. So I encourage you, I challenge you today to walk in faith. I want you to stand wherever you are, and I just want you to pray right now. Just lift up your hands and say, Father God, I thank you. Say, go ahead and repeat. Say, I thank you because you have preserved me unto this very day, and you have appointed me to be this generation, this end time generation. I pray, Father, that you would open my eyes so that I might know the time that I'm living in, and that I might know what things I should do. Father, I present myself to you, and I ask, Father, that you give me a hunger for your things, a hunger for your purpose, a hunger for your plans. Let it come into my life. And if you're being tortured by fear, if your fear has been operating in your life, I want you to renounce that fear, and I want to pray for you to be delivered. Say, Heavenly Father, in this day, I confess to you that I have been afraid. I ask forgiveness, Lord, for believing the lies of the enemy. And this day, I choose to believe that you are my God, that your hand is upon me, that your protection is upon me. And right now, I renounce to every spirit of fear. Go ahead and say, I renounce to every spirit of fear in the name of Jesus. I renounce to it now in Jesus' name. Now you just receive. I'm going to pray for you. Father, I pray for every person that is bound by fear, with the authority of the risen Son of God, Jesus Christ of Nazareth. I now command every spirit of fear to leave every person that is watching this. I command you to leave their mind. I command you to leave their bodies at the count of three, and set them free. One, two, three, now. I declare freedom upon you now. Now, there we go, there we go. Free, free, free. I command the spirit of fear to leave in the name of Jesus. I command it to let you go. By the power of God, by the spirit of God, be delivered now. Be free now from every work of the enemy. I break off that spirit of fear that is oppressing you, that spirit of fear that is paralyzing you, that wants you to think that you're sick right now. I cancel that in Jesus' name. That spirit of fear actually opens the door to disease to come, because it opens the door. Fear opens the door for the work of the enemy. So Father, right now, I shut every door that the enemy has opened, every door of fear. And the Lord also reminds me there are people that fear for their, even their economy. Lord, I pray right now for the economy of your people. I break that spirit of fear. Your word says, Lord, that if we seek first the kingdom of God and its righteousness, all things shall be added to us, Father. What shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? Where shall we live? Father, I therefore break every spirit of fear operating in people because of their finances. And right now, Father, I pray anything that has been stolen from your people because of health, because of fear and economy, I pray, Father, let there be restoration in the name of Jesus. I declare, Father, blessing is released upon your people. Financial blessing comes to them in the name of Jesus. I pray, Father, that those that haven't been able to sleep, insomnia is broken off in the name of Jesus. Be delivered now. Right now, every sickness in your body, come out in Jesus' name. Spirit of infirmity, I take authority over you, and I command you to loose them now. Loose the people of God in Jesus' name. I pray right now. I pray deliverance upon you. I pray healing upon you in the name of Jesus. If you're sick in your body, if you have pain in every part, I want you to put your hand wherever you have pain. And as soon as I command, that pain will go away. Father, in Jesus' name, I send the word. Even as Jesus sent the word and the servant of the centurion was healed, Father, I send the word now. Father, anybody who is affected by this COVID virus, in the name of Jesus, I command every symptom to cease. I declare healing upon your body. If you have a relative that is sick, right now you can stand for them and say, I receive it for them. Father, in Jesus' name, any relative that is sick right now, I command peace be still. I command that virus dies in your body. I declare health comes upon them. I declare deliverance comes upon them now. In Jesus' name, I speak life. I speak life. I speak life. I cancel the words of death, and I speak life to you now in the name of Jesus. Father, thank you. Thank you, Lord. And in place of fear, Father, I declare and I release the spirit of boldness. The spirit of boldness comes upon your people, the spirit of God, the spirit of self-control. Father, thank you, for you have not given us a spirit of fear. You have given us the spirit of power. You have given us a power, a spirit of might and of a sound mind, Lord. Father, I pray, Lord, that you would seal this word, and I cover every person that is watching this. I declare, Father, in this season, let this be a season of miracles right now. Right now, right now. Right now it's happening. This today is marking a season of change from what has been normal, a change from walking in the natural to the supernatural. But you have to be expecting it. You have to be praying for it. You have to be watching for it. Father, I declare a season of walking in the supernatural. A season, Father, that seeing miracles will become common. I pray for miracles of provision. I pray miracles of salvation. I pray miracles upon the family. I pray miracles of restoration to come upon your people in the name of Jesus. Father, thank you. I bless them now. I release divine protection in the name of Jesus. And let me ask, if you say, I've been distracted by the things of this world, I've been distracted, I haven't been watching, I haven't been seeking my purpose, I haven't been seeking the things of God, I haven't been praying, let me tell you, God has an assignment for you, and it's time for you to enter into it, because He is coming soon. Let Him see us watching. Let Him find us praying. Let us see us with faith upon the earth. So if you have been distracted, and you've let other things distract you, I want you to repeat this prayer after me and say, Heavenly Father, this day I come before your presence and I repent, Lord, for being distracted. I repent, Lord, for not watching and not praying. This day, Lord, I make a commitment, Lord, to not be distracted. I make a commitment to watch by hearing your word, by obeying your word, by being spiritually alert. And I make a commitment, Lord, to pray. I want you to make a commitment to pray. Say, Father, I make a commitment to pray half an hour or an hour, whatever you can do every day for the next 30 days. I make that commitment, Lord, that I will seek you. And I pray, Father, that in this time you would speak to me. In the name of Jesus, amen. Father, I pray now. I seal this commitment. I declare your grace is released, Father, for your people to pray. Right now, I open their spiritual eyes. I command they be open in the name of Jesus so that you can watch the plans of the enemy, so that God can show you the plans of the enemy against your life, his strategies against your city, that you might pray against them. Father, I declare activation in the spirit. Activation for prayer comes upon you in Jesus' name. Be activated to pray. Be activated to see in the spirit. Be activated to watch in the spirit in the name of Jesus. Father, I release it upon your people. I declare, Lord, that these your people shall not be asleep, but when you come, you shall find us working. You shall find us watching. You shall find us praying. You shall find us, Lord, giving your word to other people. I release it now in the name of Jesus. And Father, now I declare your peace over everybody. Your peace, the peace of God, the peace that goes above all understanding. Let it come upon your people now. Receive the peace of God in your life. Receive it in your house. Receive it wherever you go. In the name of Jesus, Father, I bless everyone that watches this. And I declare, Lord, the season of the supernatural in your life. Supernatural connection, supernatural hearing of God, and supernatural prayer. In the name of Jesus, amen and amen. God bless you. I love you. Thank you very much.